I will be doing my Marlon Brando impersonation pretty much all day long, but not constantly.
Thank God for that, I might add.
And if sufficiently goaded, and Dana Whalen has already kind of, cast the first ballot, I will sing, not all of, but some of, Luck Be a Lady Tonight, the way he sang it in Guys and Dolls. One of his very few,
you know,
musical vocals.
Speaking on behalf of our vast audience, I can't even begin to express just how fortunate we are.
I know, if people don't want me to do it, I won't do it. I understand. But if anyone does...
Oh, yeah. He said as if pleading with people to call out.
I am not putting a knock on dolls. It's just that they have something to have around only when they come in handy. Like cough drops.
That's pretty good.
It's one of my few... I really do have pretty good Marlon Brando. I just want to say
he said, patting himself on the back.
No, I mean, I don't think that I do very many good impersonations. I do passable impersonations of a few other people.
I think it's excellent.
But my Brando is dead on. I just happen to have, I've got the chops. So anyway, we're going to talk a little bit more about Marlon Brando. He's dead, dead at the age of 80.
That was certainly heartfelt.
He took such good care of himself, too.
Yeah, just, hard to believe. Well, you know what's amazing is he made it to 80.
Yeah.
That's what's amazing.
I think it might have been... I should have thought about booking Edelstein, because I could be wrong about this, but I don't think I am, that Edelstein wrote this review way back when he wrote for the Village Voice. I think it might have been him anyway, where he said that the problem with the Apocalypse Now is that Marlon Brando is actually kind of silly in it. Now, I'm not saying that I agree with this, or I bet you David doesn't even agree with it anymore. He was a young Turk at the time. I bet you this was Edelstein. But then he said that basically, you know, there's all this sort of build-up in Apocalypse Now, and they finally meet Kurtz, and it's Marlon Brando, who we described as a big, fat baby in a diaper. If you think about it that way, it is sort of funny. It's still a pretty riveting performance, the way. But, I mean, there was something silly about Marlon Brando in the latter stages of his career, when he was cast to play Jor-El in Superman. It was, I think, the Salkin brothers who were producing the thing, and I'm doing all this from memory, but my recollection was that after they signed him for, you know, some insane amount of money for what was clearly going to be just a small supporting role. I mean, the planet blows up at the beginning of the movie. It's not going to be around after that. So, although I guess he was like a talking crystal or something in supporting the movie, but...
That talking crystal was damn important.
Yeah. Well, then Brando told the producers that he didn't think he should really appear in the movie, that he should be like a green
voiceover,
that he should be like a green suitcase that, you know, that they take out of the rocket ship and that it would talk to Superman. Apparently, the producers were in a complete panic. I mean, they paid Brando like more money than anybody had ever gotten for a movie role or something like that. Certainly more money than anybody had ever gotten for a supporting movie role. And they're huddling back in their office going, he wants to be a suitcase? He was eventually talked into actually being a human being in the movie. But obviously, the last stages of his career, I mean, The Godfather is one of his last great roles. But, I mean, you know, he's going to be known as Stanley Kowalski. He's going to be known... for that, and for On the Waterfront, and for The Wild One, and people who saw him on stage, I never saw him on stage, people who saw him on stage said, it was just mind-boggling, just as riveting as he is in a movie, you just quintuple it, what he was like on stage.
Be interested to hear what Frank Rich had to say about it.
Yes, that would be interesting. Well, we are going to talk to Paul Stacey, film historian, film scholar. At 3:35, talk about Brando. We also have, for all of those of you who enjoy him so much, Mr. Alex Bean will be joining us.
Oh, God.
So we probably won't have jobs at the end of that. There's always
when
that
would
chair.
That be?
It'll be at 4:10, I think.
Uh-huh.
4:10, 4:40, one of those kinds of times. In the 4 o'clock hour, so don't leave us, because if you ever
heard... always
if worth it. If you have heard Alex's previous performances, you know they are not to be missed. Now, in terms of Sperano's Public Integrity Unit, I forget what they're actually called, but something like that.
Another thing I'm curious about after reading that stuff this morning, how many... hot tubs are there in existence that the Rolands have had something to do with?
Well, I used to think that...
It's mind-boggling now. I can't keep track of all of this.
I used to think that there were two that the Rolands had. But now, I've disabused myself of that notion. The more that I read the select committee's testimony and watched the testimony, it seemed to me that maybe there was only one. But now it turns out there may have only been one, but now there is a second one. There used to be a round one, and now there's a square one.
Round one, square one. One sitting on the lawn at this new house, or the when they were moving in.
Yeah.
One that he what, supposedly gave somebody.
He gave to some relevant DPW official. Yeah. Should we talk to George from Farmington?
I think so. George?
Hey, Bruce. Hey, Colin.
Hi.
Bruce
and Colin shall return. Just out of curiosity, aren't you on the air now?
Theoretically.
Yep.
Robot.
When you're a multitasker like I am, I mean, Steve Salhaney, when he said, listen, I want to make sure those urinals are clean and those numbers are up there. I mean, I have to multitask.
The station's being run right now by a computer program called the Salhaney 4000, which plays the same John Mayer song over and over again.
Boo! Hit! Boo!
Now through Tuesday, Sleepy.
Stella! Now, just remember what Huey Long said, that every man's a king, and I'm the king around here. And will you forget it?
I will see sing Luck Be a Lady at some point.
What's that?
I will sing Luck Be a Lady at some point today. During the show.
Tonight would be good, yeah. Tonight, I think, would be best. Yeah.
He should have made more musicals. I was looking, after talking to Paul, I was just looking at the filmography. There are some pretty incredibly horrible movies there going down the home stretch. But also, even kind of at his, more or less at his peak, like Sayonara is a pretty horrible movie, to tell you the truth. There are some bad movies. But, I mean, God, the guy, when he was great, he was really good. Anyway, we don't want to
talk pennies.
Life's gonna suck when you grow up, when you grow up, when you grow up. Life's gonna suck when you grow up, it sucks pretty bad right now. You're gonna have to mow the lawn, do the dishes, make your bed. You're gonna have to go to school until you're 17.
Seems like a long time, doesn't it?
Ha! You're gonna have to go to war, shoot a gun, kill a nun. You might have to go to war when you get out of school.
Don't worry, it gets worse.
You're gonna have to deal with stress, deal with stress, deal with stress. Your life's gonna be a mess when you get home from the war.
All right, we're back, and with us is actually that is current theme song, although right now we should get into the habit now of playing For All the Saints Who From Their Labors Rest. Alex Beam for the Boston Globe, who once had played at his state funeral when he's a dead president of the United States.
I'm not dead yet.
No. I'm just practicing.
That's a very impressive rendition. I guess those years at that candy-ass private school weren't wasted.
well, you're right, you are. And maybe I could even audition for the Boston Pops. I see the Boston Pops now have succumbed to the reality show thing where they're, like, picking somebody to sing with them on July 4th in the Common
Rock. How pathetic is that?
Yeah.
And the Globe and the Herald feel obliged to go along with the charade.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they couldn't pay, like, you know, usually they have a kind of B-list nobody. I'm trying to remember, I once heard, you know, but I guess even that was too expensive as yet another symphony founders on the rocks.
Although I sort of get the feeling that you, like many highbrow intellectual before you, have, including me, have succumbed to some of these reality shows. You seem to know an awful lot about Survivor.
Well, you know, Colin, I'll be straight with you. You know, I was assigned to write a profile of Boston Rob Mariano, and it's weird. CBS gave me a bunch of the tapes, and I always found it totally boring when I channel surfed past it.
Mm-hmm.
But I almost apologize for saying this, but I kind of see the insidious brilliance
mm-hmm.
of what Mark Burnett put together. And that, I mean, I know that because I know people will laugh because real newspaper writers don't do any research. But I did a lot of research to meet this kind of, you know, fake couple of the moment, Rob and Amber.
Yeah.
And it was really quite seductive. It was kind of like crack. And, I mean, given that the mission was to sell toothpaste, I mean, I think it was kind of fantastic.
Yeah. No, I agree. I didn't happen to watch Survivor, but I did. I've watched American Idol, and I never got why The Apprentice was popular, but I did make an effort to watch it.
You know, you and Bruce are on the air every day, you know, and I thank God I don't have to be current. So I don't watch anything, frankly, except like Law and Order reruns. you know, which...
Which are on all the time by federal fiat. You don't even have to get to be president to make that happen. It's already happened. It's now an FCC requirement that at least on one channel at any given point during the day, there's a Law and Order rerun.
Yeah, well, thank God is all I could say. So I'm actually looking at Lake Winnipesaukee. It's an utterly gorgeous day. I can't... Is Bruce there? I haven't heard it.
Right here. Yes.
Yeah.
Listening intently.
Are you guys getting overtime? Why would anybody be working today?
Because we're working today. We may even be working Monday.
But you know no one's listening.
Well, no, I think people are listening. They're probably stuck in traffic trying to get to Lake Winnipesaukee. You just got there before them.
Yeah, 3 days before. Oh, sorry. Talk about phoning it in, so to speak.
Yeah. So what do we have, a palatial summer home there?
We don't, but we married someone who has a pretty nice one. I mean, it's not like Romney land down the shore. But still... It's pretty nice. I think the mafia is on the other side of the lake, so all things considered, it's really not so bad. I'm frantically, quote-unquote, fact-checking. I'm trying to figure out if the St. Paul's School, from which John Kerry graduated many, many years ago, has a school yacht. Does either of you know if that's the case?
I would have to defer to Bruce on that one. I have no idea.
You know, they did have the first squash court in all of North America. Was at St. Paul's School, and then someone told me they have a school yacht, which I think, you know, gives a lot of credibility to the whole proletarian, I'm a Harley kind of guy, John Forbes Kerry. I'd like to see him at the helm of the school yacht. I'd like to print that picture.
Well, they all do that. I mean, you know, here's George W. Bush, who's born into this, you know, Connecticut, you know, patrician family, and he's out at Crawford, Texas, clearing brush and stuff.
Clearing, no, I couldn't agree with you more. Clearing brush and, like, yeah, pretending to be interested in NASCAR. Jesus, God. Oh, man.
So you're in New Hampshire, and meanwhile, you're actually advocating that the state of Vermont be annexed by Canada.
Yes, Colin's referring to this column I phoned in, what I would do if I was president.
This is a pretty funny column, I thought.
Luckily, I didn't hear what you said.
No, I said it was a pretty funny column.
Oh, that's nice of you to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was okay. I think the high cost of framing, I wish one of the two major parties would take it on.
This is the first thing you complain about, was how much it costs to frame pictures? It
costs a heck of a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it probably has a greater impact, you know, on people's wallets than, like, the estate tax. Well, anyway, let's not go there. Have you had Bill Clinton as a guest yet?
No, he wouldn't bother with us. We're small fry.
Oh, come on. Every time I go through Connecticut, man, WTSC is like blaring in my... Okay, here's another subject. How come Led Zeppelin is back?
Are they?
Yeah, you know, my son just arrived here, and he and his very hip friends were blasting Led Zeppelin.
Okay, then this is interesting, because my son, who's 14, and, you know, until recently, you know, he thinks like a, you know, one of those sort of time-worn artists would be maybe Hammer. You know, I mean, but lately he's been asking me about all this stuff, and he asked me about Led Zeppelin, but more to the point, he's been asking me a lot of questions about Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, well, Hendrix I can sort of understand. You know, there's a talented writer at the Boston Globe. Since he's not listening, I can confide that it's this guy, Charlie Pierce. He has a cover story in Sports Illustrated this week.
And he's on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, too.
Pardon me?
He's on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, too.
That's but forget about that, because that's NPR. Just crapola, but he told me to read Hammer of the Gods, the tell-all book about Led Zeppelin, and I must say it's been about the best weekend of my life. You know, none of this can be told on the radio.
Why would you want to? Oh, just because it's such lurid filth?
Yeah, it's because I was telling him how much I enjoyed the Stanley Booth book about hanging out with the Rolling Stones.
Yeah,
and he said, "Well, hanging out with Led Zeppelin is like being with the Stones times three."
Except that I don't have any real desire to know anything about Led Zeppelin. I mean, you would have to care about Led Zeppelin in the first place. And I never went through a Led Zeppelin period. Did you?
No, I don't think I've ever listened to any one of their songs, which all my friends assure me are terrible.
They're all terrible. But you, of course you've listened to Stairway to Heaven. There's no way to live in America during the last few years.
No, a 23-year-old just hummed it for me about 45 minutes ago when I tried to... Buffalo him into thinking that I had never heard Stairway from Heaven, whatever it's
Stairway
called.
To Heaven.
Stairway to Heaven. But anyway, it's a great book. I'm here to recommend Hammer of the Gods. It's not available for sale anywhere. Although Stephen Davis, I noticed, has a new tell-all biography out of Jim Morrison.
Yeah.
Jim's not telling too much these days.
No. I don't know why this is, but it is true that, you know, our children's generation, they're suddenly interested in all this stuff that we've all forgot. As a matter of fact, Joey was asking me all these questions about Jimi Hendrix. I finally said, you know what? I don't really remember much of it.
when Jimmy and I were in Seattle together. doesn't Bruce have a daughter who's normal?
Yes, kind of. But she's not. She's not a kid anymore either. She's in a position to make more informed culture.
Yeah, 26.
Yeah. What does she listen to?
I have no idea.
Well, is she complaining about the high cost of framing?
Certainly not to me.
Does she think
framing doesn't cost anything? I don't know what. Well, I do a lot of framing.
Yeah, so you bring your stuff down here, and it's a courtesy to you as one of our guests. Bruce will frame your stuff for you.
Here's a subject that people are actually interested in.
Yeah. You can stop whining about it. Bruce will take it to one of those You Frame It places.
I tell you, there's no more You Frame It.
Yeah. Is there no more You Frame
It? I'll frame it.
He says he'll frame it.
I can frame it.
He'll take it to a He'll Frame It place.
Yeah, I'll tell you one of these horrible journalism stories again. Thank God I don't have my editor.
Well, you can't tell it to us now. You have to either wait through the break or wait until the next time you're on.
Do you have so little to do that you're going to keep me on the air?
Well, no, I'm just saying that we have to go do traffic and stuff like that.
Okay, why don't you see if I'm here when you come back?
Talk to you about Howard Weiner. Because
Bruce and Colin shall return.
Tell my mildly off-color joke. how do we know there's? How do we know that Jesus Christ was not born in Sweden?
How?
No virgin. Boston Globe wouldn't print that either.
Oh, so you put it on our show? You know, the Boston Globe doesn't have like an FCC that it's answerable
to. Right. I forgot. There's all this, like, new sensibility, blah, blah, blah.
Dendrimers are tiny artificial molecules. They're too small to see, but they can improve medication efficiency, diagnosis.
Actually, I have the Tiny Tim version of this.
Oh, my God. Ask me about the shark story.
Okay, tell us about the shark story.
No, I can't tell you about the shark
story. Well, what was the story you were going to tell us in the segment before?
It's so trite and stupid. I don't know.
Well, what was it?
No,
it should fit right in here.
It's so embarrassing. I mean, don't get me started on this whole sort of New York Times-driven, you know, prissiness about accuracy in journalism, which I spit on. But in any case, I was complaining about the high cost of framing, and I made a true error of judgment. You know, I named a company and said they charge too much, and so the guy called me on it. And he said, well, let's look up your receipt and see how much did you actually pay $300 as I claimed.
Yeah.
And in fact, no. It was really complicated. I remember the bill being far too high, but my idea of what is far too high, it turns out, is nowhere near $300. And he was very gracious.
Well, actually, you didn't name a company. You said you had consigned two pictures to a, quote, picture framing superstore, unquote, headquartered in a town whose name rhymes with shaming him.
Yes, well, how many?
Oh, gee.
Yeah.
I don't know what store that is. What store is that?
I'm not going to name them, they're very respectable picture framing superstore, and I owe them an apology, which I'm here with proffering about 100 miles south of where the apology is actually due.
Would this be like the corporate headquarters of the store in this particular town or city?
Yes, that's
okay.
Right.
All right, I got you.
Yeah.
All right.
And turns out they read the Boston Globe.
Huh?
Who knew?
Yeah,
in faraway Framingham.
Did they indicate whether they'd framed the column that you insulted them in?
I don't know, but No, they were nice because I said, look, I will apologize and correct this in print, thus calling down the wrath, you know, of the stewards of accuracy. I mean, I hopefully didn't notice that I killed off Faye Vincent about 2.5 months ago, which is like, you know, I even composed a little song about, you know, I dreamed I saw Faye Vincent last night alive as you or I. But Faye, I said, you've long been dead. I never died, said he.
Well, you know, as you know and I know from our long lives as newspaper columnists, in situations like that, you just say, oh, I knew that he was alive. I was just screwing around.
Yeah. I tell you, but the thing at the Globe, you know, everyone's trying, you know, the chimpanzee is trying to act like the big gorilla. So we're trying to act like we're the New York Times. And, I mean, I was on the phone to Florida at 8 a.m. to Faye Vincent, groveling.
I'm sorry. I didn't know you were still alive. Well, let me just say this. I don't think you people at the Globe have anything to apologize for, because long before the Times had all these dysfunctional reporters who were getting caught, you know, you had Barnacle and you had, you know, you had Patricia, whatever her name is. You went through all that. You guys invented that genre, and the Times is just following along in your wake.
It's true. I mean, Jason Blair is really Jason come lately.
Yeah. You guys were way out in front of that whole thing, so don't feel bad at all. And also, you know, at The Current, I'm actually famous for having done exactly the same thing, except I didn't do it.
That says that you're a much greater columnist than I am, because I'm stuck in remorse.
Yeah.
So you've moved to the Barnacle level of total deceit.
No, it is true that The Current misidentified Dorothy Stebbins Bowles, this is like 30 years ago, as the widow of the late Chester Bowles, and he wasn't dead. But I was the one who took the call from Chester Bowles the next day. He just called the city just to say that he wasn't dead. But legend now has it that I'm the one who made the mistake. So
who did make the mistake, Colin?
I don't know, but eventually your mistake will be somebody else's fault, too, if you manage to play it the right way. Anyway, we have to go for real now. Goodbye, Alex Beam.
All right, I wish you both a really happy 4th.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, Bruce. Bye-bye, Colin.
Watch out for Scott Gray. Okay, I have some stories to tell, or we can talk to John. It's up to you.
Stories.
Okay, well, first of all, this is a story that's developing, but I'll tell you the beginning of it, which is that for complicated reasons, I'm moving from one apartment to another, but for a brief period of time, 6 weeks, I will not have an apartment. So I've been sort of trying to think about, you know, whether I could get various friends or neighbors or whatever to store my stuff. And so last night I happened to be having dinner with the angry and bitter Olympic skier, Carrie Scheinberg, who's kind of in a similar position, and so she has a storage unit. She got a storage unit.
Right.
So I was asking some questions about the storage unit, and one thing that I said to her is, under no circumstances while you have this storage unit, and while you're undergoing kind of if you have a storage unit, it means that your life is, it probably means your life is going through some uncertain times, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You're not really sure where you're going to be, or at least you're not where you intend to be yet, so you have a storage unit, right?
Right, yep.
But I said, under no circumstances can you rent House of Sand and Fog, because if you do, you'll kill yourself. Because at one point, because House of Sand and Fog, which is the movie that came out last year, which my son Joey and I foolishly went and saw in a movie theater, it's like one of the most depressing movies ever made. And at one point, Jennifer Connelly's life has so completely come unraveled that she's living in her storage unit. And
which is strictly forbidden.
It's strictly forbidden. You're not allowed to live in your storage unit. I think she eventually gets caught and kicked out, so she can't live in her storage unit anymore. But and Carrie said, you know, she'd already made that decision, A, not to watch that movie, and B, not ever to live in her storage unit. But so today I thought, you know what? I'm just going to get a storage unit. You know, I'm going to get a storage unit. Then I won't have to think about this anymore because I'll have a storage unit. So it turns out there are some storage units. Since we are basically, our radio station is located in a very depressing area, it's not hard to find a place nearby that has storage units. There are a number of storage unit companies right nearby here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's not far at all.
Okay.
And I actually...
I'm trying to think.
I found one that's a storage unit that's run by a storage unit empire, a small empire. That's being run by a man named Lance Violette. And so he rented me a storage unit today. But that, even looking at the storage unit, I get so depressed. There's something, I mean, is there anything more depressing in the world than a storage unit?
No, I had one for a while.
Yeah.
For a few months.
Were you depressed?
No.
You didn't? See, you're impervious to these things. You don't let them get to you.
Well, it's not that. It's just I knew eventually I wouldn't need the storage unit anymore, and I'd be moving on to something else, and that was that.
But meanwhile, what if somehow or other you just completely lose your way in life, you know, and like the storage unit does become your primary reality?
Well, I lived in an apartment for like 2 months.
Yeah.
Just got a place for 2 months until my condo was ready to go.
So the other things worked out, everything like that. I understand. Yeah. But there's something about a storage unit that it just... You know, and then when they first open the door up, you know, and you look into it and it's empty and you realize that all your stuff is going into this wall.
Wait till you look at it and it's full. And it's just totally disorganized.
Oh, God. Oh. I may have to go on an antidepressant during this whole storage unit period of my life. So, anyway, that's...
Well, you can look at it as the storage unit. Well, it won't be years, but the storage unit weeks.
This is like an unfolding narrative in my life. Sort of a Spalding Gray narrative about me and my storage unit. And I'll probably eventually have a one-man show about my
Well, I think there's got to be a couple of columns in there anyway.
Exactly, yeah. And so anyway, that's story number one. Story number two is that I also went to see all of my stories today have to do with, in various ways, cavities. A storage unit is a cavity. But I also went to see Dr. Jerry today, Dr. Jerry Roosevelt.
And how is Dr. Jerry?
He's fine. He's going to be moving, not any good. He's moving too, but he's moving just a short distance within Old Avon Village, I believe, into larger quarters. Not right now.
His office is moving, or he personally is moving?
His office is moving. Okay. Here's the important thing about this. They're doing feng shui.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who's doing it?
But this is the best part. I don't even know if I'm supposed to be telling this stuff on the radio, but why not? They're having the same feng shui people who did the Philadelphia Eagles. The same feng shui woman who did the Philadelphia... Did you know the Philadelphia Eagles had feng shui in their new
stadium? I did not know that, but thank you for sharing.
Bobby, this is the kind of thing which, unfortunately, you probably know. Didn't they move into a new stadium pretty recently?
Yes, they did, Lincoln.
You know that, too. Yeah. Right. I didn't even need to ask Bobby.
No.
Well, when they did, they had feng shui done on it. And they've been pretty good the last few years since they moved in. Haven't they been pretty good?
Well, just moved in, last year?
Yeah. So they had a pretty good season, didn't they?
It was all right.
Went to the NFC Championship, didn't they?
Yeah.
Bobby just told me that in my headphones.
Right.
I mean, it's not that I actually watched
NFL. I believe they went to the NFC Championship the year before, too. Did they not?
I think they did. Were they in the new stadium?
Well, three straight years, actually. The first team to lose three straight years in a row in the NFC title game.
No, they went.
He's a walking encyclopedia.
He doesn't know all this kind of stuff.
Incredible.
All I'm saying is, the same person who did the feng shui for the Philadelphia Eagles Stadium, what's it called again? Lincoln Stadium?
Lincoln Financial Park. Or
the same person who did the feng shui is doing the feng shui for Dr. Jerry. The same person also did feng shui for Flora from Long Island's husband in New York. So this is a multi-city feng shui kind of person. This isn't like some person who's just down the road hanging out in a feng shui.
This would be a feng shui road trip.
Yeah. So when you go to the dentist from now on, when you go to Dr. Jerry, not only will you be going to, I'm not doing a commercial for him right now. I'm just telling you that you're going to be dealing with a situation where feng shui has been done in advance.
That's great to know.
Yeah.
That really is. So that makes me feel better.
The energies will be good and stuff like that. So
great.
That's an unfolding story, too, because I have to go back to Dr. Jerry because of various infirmities in my teeth. And so I'll be able to sort of monitor the whole feng shui.
I'm sure they'll be very happy to have you involved, as many people are.
I think Dr. Jerry's had his home feng shui as well, too, which may account for his tremendous...
Could very well be.
Chi energy. Flowing out of him all the time.
I am just sure, too, that Dr. Jerry's thrilled as all get out to have this shared with the entire world.
Maybe he is because, you can go to some schlemiel dentist who wouldn't know feng shui from Mugu Gai Pan, and you know what? You'll have your teeth will have lousy chi energy and, you'll be miserable. Or you could go to, I don't see why it's a bad thing for people to know that Dr. Jerry had feng shui done on his new,
I'm going to check your chakras when you're in there, too.
I may have feng shui done on my storage unit, I think it's important to have good energies in my... Because I don't want my furniture soaking up and my boxes of, depressing material soaking up negative energy. Because I think there's... I think storage units, in general, almost by definition, have bad feng shui.
I would think.
They have bad chi energy. They have bad... It's all bad. It's all bad at the storage unit, no matter which storage unit
it is. It's kind of like you pile it in there, pile it as high as you can, and yank that door and yank it down. You get one with a garage door kind of thing?
Yeah, kind of a garage door kind of thing,
okay,
yeah.
Good. That's one of the big ones.
Yeah. But I think it's important to have good feng shui in there for the 6 weeks that all my stuff is sitting inside there.
Well, good luck with that.
I'm close to tears at this point. So anyway, those are my two stories. That our dentist has feng shui done in his office by the same person who did the Philadelphia Eagles feng shui. That's pretty impressive, don't you think?
And when they did this feng shui at the football stadium, you're talking about on the field, or you're talking about
the whole
offices?
Stadium, the offices. I don't really know exactly how comprehensive.
It's like you can't arrange a lot of things on the field. I mean, the field is the field.
Mm-hmm. No, they actually have curved sidelines. They have curved sidelines because they think it's better. It's a better connector.
You can't take the 10 over and put it over by the 45 because it works better that way.
Yeah. We have a feng shui hater on the line. Fred.
All right.
From Hartford.
Fred, we got about a minute.
I'm not really a feng shui hater.
Rush Limbaugh was a hideous jerk face. She warned them.
Personally, my cats have been rearranging our place, so...
Yeah. Well, they may know feng shui.
No, I don't know about that.
They know feng scratch.
Certainly some things are in different places than they used to be.
We'll get a couple of calls here. I don't know if we should. Should we think, Dave? What did Dave want?
Well, let's ask him.
Let's get involved in my life. That's a good thing.
Dave?
Hey, I don't want to get involved with your life.
My life.
Moving, I think it is. Advertises in the morning.
Yeah.
And they'll deliver a feng shui certified container to your
apartment. Those pod things? I'm frightened of those pods.
Exactly. Must be some kind of pod. You put all your stuff in it.
Yeah.
They'll move it to their warehouse to store it.
Yeah.
And then when you get your new place, they'll move the thing to yours.
To bring the pod back.
You don't have to load your truck, go to your storage, unload your truck, and then bring it back to the new place.
Yeah, I'm aware of the pods, and it's an interesting concept. And maybe next time I'll do pods.
All right.
I may just get so hooked on the thing, maybe I'll just do this all the time. I'll be trying different kind of moving techniques and stuff.
You live in like a hotel?
Yeah.
Is that the deal? You live in a hotel and just have your stuff in the pods and just check out it every now and then?
That sounds kind of good, actually.
Yeah, you get somebody to clean your sheets and everything. Yeah.
It sounds good, Dave. Thanks very much. Dave is sort of my life coach.
That could work for you.
Put all my stuff in a pod and move to a hotel. Okay, let's talk to Ron. There's no avoiding it.
Couldn't avoid it, huh?
Yeah.
So I got a tip for you about your storage unit.
All right.
In the winter,
yep.
No matter how cold you are,
yeah.
Don't use a charcoal brazier. You could die from
asphyxiation. Yeah. I'm not going to be hanging in my storage unit. I'm just not going to do that. No matter how bad things got.
But, yeah.
I'm taking a blood oath right now. I will not hang in my storage unit.
Yeah, that might work.
Yeah. Derek Jeter. The last time I saw an athlete dive that hard into the stands, it was Sam Horan. Some kid had a hot dog. It's time for Sports on Trois, the very French sports discussion segment. I beg Arnold Dean, Michel Bruce Stevens, and myself, Louis Gascon de la Mer. That really was sort of an incredible moment. Ready for a brand new beat. Summer's here, and the time is right for dancing in the... Okay, are you ready? I think I have to do it right now.
What?
This is my impersonation of Marlon Brando in Guys and Dolls as Guy Masterson.
All right.
They call you Lady Luck, but there is room for doubt. At times you have a very unladylike way of running out. You're on a date with me. The pickings have been lush. And yet before this evening is over, you might give me the brush. You might forget your manners. You might forget to stay. And lady, all that I can do is say, luck be a lady tonight. Luck be a lady tonight. Luck though you never were a lady to begin with. Luck be a lady tonight.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you, Harper.
Wow.
Thank you.
Very good.
My little deathbed tribute. I'm on my deathbed.
Very nice. Very nice.
And I'll be performing at my storage unit, unit number 7. Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays, all during the month of July and August.
Yeah, try the veal.
That's right.
Yeah,
I'm here all summer. Okay, our numbers are 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, star WTIC. One abomination that we haven't had a chance to mention today is that the Bush campaign has given an assignment to the Christians of America, to their Christian followers of America.
Oh, right, yeah.
Where they're supposed to go and get their church directories and turn them over to the Bush-Cheney campaign. The whole idea is, didn't Snoopy Seals get fired for things like this? It's like, tiptoe into the church office, get the directory, you know, the thing that has all the names and phone numbers. Get that thing, all right? And then tiptoe back out and bring it down to campaign headquarters. That's I think they did refer to that as one of the duties of all committed Bush-Cheney partisans. And I mean, really, this is pretty bad. They issued a guide listing about 24 duties. I'm almost frightened to know what the other duties are of Bush campaign volunteers. But one of the things that they're supposed to do anyway is get a hold of the list of membership directories.
Take a Supreme Court Justice duck hunting or anything on that? You never know when you may, need to...
Kill Michael Moore is one of the other... So there's lots of duties, you know. You could sign up to be one of the church membership directory stealers, or you could sign up to be one of the Michael Morkulers, you know. You could sign up. There's various committees and stuff you can sign up for, I think. I think that's the way that it works. But, I mean, I don't know. Some people are calling it a violation of church and state. I wouldn't say that. But it's appalling. It's appalling, and if I were...
Somewhat tacky, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, tacky. Tacky is exactly the word. We have to go, don't we? Or do we have an extra minute?